Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Good afternoon. This is Ricky Steele. Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources here in Atlanta. We're Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. And I'm very excited today to have Christy Oliver, one of our senior business development executives, has joined me in the studio because she wanted to meet our guest and be able to spend a few minutes with him as well. But before we jump into the show, I want to first introduce a good friend of mine and someone that has been very helpful and instrumental in the show, Kevin Finn. Kevin is our producer. He hosts a number of shows himself, and from time to time jumps in and asks a question probably better than something I'm thinking of. So
never, Ricky, never at all.
Kevin, welcome to the
Thank you so much, Ricky.
Wednesday edition. I think this is show number 10 of our
number
series.
Number 10. I can't believe we haven't been canceled yet.
I imagine every time the phone rings late at night, I'm thinking it's
Well, we just always have such risque topics. So
it is
We're
true.
We're the bad boys of Business Radio X.
It is true. It is true. Well, I'm very excited about today's show on multiple levels. As most of people know, our goal for Booth 61 is to build the community, allowing the rising tide to lift all the boats in technology. And I think today's guest is doing this in multiple ways, which we're going to discuss over the next hour. I'm very honored to have in the studio today Charles Brian Quinn, better known as CBQ in the Atlanta area. As a matter of fact, in Atlanta, he's about as famous as John Ross Ewing was, who most people know as JR of the Ewing clan on the television show Dallas. CBQ is the CEO of Big Nerd Ranch. Welcome to Booth 61, CBQ.
Thank you, Ricky. It's good. It's a pleasure to be here. Happy to be here.
Well, it's glad to have you. We got to start at the most obvious first. CBQ, how did that come about?
Well, you know, I actually do have I have three names, and what I've ended up doing is going by those depending on the people that I know. So in school, growing up, I always went by Brian, and then when I went to college, I started going by Charles, and I started signing my name as C. Brian Quinn, and some people saw it and said, "Hey, C. Brian, hey, C. Brian Quinn," and then it just shortened to CBQ, and it's stuck ever since. I like it, so I encourage it.
Well, it's a great moniker, and again, that's something that you're well known for in Atlanta over the last several years as you've been building your business, so I like that a lot. We got a lot to talk about, but I really want to start the program today because it's a very important day. Today is May 5th, and some of you may be listening to this live, and some of you may listen to it May 5th in 2017, and I assume it'll still be on the air at that point, but May 5th is 4 days before today's May 8th, 3 days before the 2013 Digital Ball. Many of you in the technology community in Atlanta know that the Digital Ball is the premier event held every year by TechBridge, and it's where the entire technology community comes together to celebrate the technology community with most of the CIOs from the major corporations, a lot of great sponsors and friends in the industry, raising over $1 million for TechBridge to use to help other not-for-profits in the community become more successful, help them streamline their technology. I think show number 2 or 3, we had James Franklin, the CEO of TechBridge, on the show, and James did a great job of telling the story. The reason I lay all that out is to, I guess, really thank CBQ. This will be his first digital ball.
That's right.
And he stepped up to the plate as a major, major sponsor by sponsoring the VIP reception that is shortly before the digital ball. I was at an event at Coca-Cola Museum not too long ago with Ed Steinecke where it was announced. And the enthusiasm from the CIOs in thanking him and in James Franklin, of course, Kerry Bates Hastings, who is the director of development at TechBridge, as someone who's been around since the very beginning of the event, I commend you for your, I think it's a brilliant business decision. It's a lot of money where you are in the stage of your growth, yet I truly believe it was a smart and wise investment, and I want to thank you, but first ask you to give us a little bit of background on how you came to this decision and how excited you are about dressing up in a tuxedo this coming Saturday evening.
Well, sure, Ricky, like any great business decision, it was not made by me. My team of fantastic nerds and people who support those nerds came to me and said, this is something we should do. It's in our backyard, and it is for a fantastic cause. I mean, gosh, every time I learn more about the Digital Ball and about TechBridge in general and the people who are involved, I like it more and more and more. But credit is to give credit where credit's due. Our wonderful director of PR and marketing, Leanne Boucher, had sort of come to us and said, "This is something that we should do. It's for a great cause, and it will help get the word out about us." So, I mean, I love those two things. So, it was a natural for us. So we're super happy to be involved. We're glad that that Carrie Bates Hastings is doing it, and it's her baby. It's going to be fantastic. We've got a lot of cool things planned for the VIP reception. If you're listening, I'd love to see you there, and we're looking forward to it. So again, not my decision, but I support it.
Well, Leanne, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, and I want to thank you and CBQ as well on the behalf of the literally thousands and thousands of people who will be served over the next year by one of the other not-for-profits that have their technology revitalized by TechBridge. There'll be people from the Atlanta Community Food Bank to perhaps an AIDS organization to adult literacy. There are so many organizations that are affected by TechBridge, and there are going to be a lot of people who never hear of the Digital Ball, never hear of TechBridge, but their lives will be changed, and it'll be changed because of this financial commitment that Big Nerd Ranch has made. So anyway, I wanted to get that past us, but I do thank you very, very much for this commitment. Well, I have spent a lot of time reading about you and getting to know you at lunch yesterday and reading a lot of great articles and listening to a couple of interviews earlier. You're a developer by trade, and you get your retraining at the very prestigious Georgia Institute of Technology, as we boys from Athens like to say, the North Avenue Trade School.
That's right.
But, of course, the great Georgia Tech. And, you know, now you're CEO of a growing, fast-growing company. What is it all about, and how is that affecting you based upon your Georgia Tech upbringing?
Well, you know, I feel like a lot of the traits are the same. One of the great things about Georgia Tech, Ricky, and I know you're a huge fan of it, is I think they teach you how to learn. One of the things that served me well is really realizing like how to learn things. I remember some very particular courses, the sort of weed out courses, where you know just super intense, difficult learning, and really digging in and finding out like how do I learn best. And it still amazes me today that there are people, and luckily I have a lot of them on my team, who love doing things that I both hate and am not good at, and they are fantastic at it. And I still sort of have trouble sort of even realizing that. I'm like, I can't believe you love sending out those invoices because I'm horrible at that. But so learning how to learn, I think, is a trait that served me well, that I learned as a CS, computer science major at Georgia Tech. I think many of the other skills are the same. I think things like taking a big problem and breaking it down into smaller and smaller chunks or smaller and smaller pieces is something that you learn in development. I'm lucky, too. I have a great entrepreneurial group that I joined a couple years ago called EO, so Entrepreneurs Organization. And that's been a fantastic learning experience, also served me well. You know, it's fun. I do still get to do some development. I hope our CFO is not listening because she gets mad when I sort of mention that I still get to do it. Obviously, I'm not doing sort of client work or teaching or doing any of the fun stuff, but I do get to do some fun stuff. You know, I love, as a CEO, I like numbers and I like looking at systems. And so I've been able to integrate some APIs from some systems to get some numbers out. And I think that's a trait that I think some of my CEO buddies are kind of jealous of. They're like, wait, can you teach me how to do that? How do we pull that data out? So continual learning And I think being a developer is a great trait, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I don't miss that I didn't have the MBA experience like some of my friends.
I think the other thing Georgia Tech teaches or instills in you is just a very serious work ethic that a lot of people don't receive at other schools. And to get to receive a diploma at Georgia Tech, you have worked your tail off to get it, and that has got to be very, very beneficial as you go through running your business.
Yeah, no, I obviously, you know, you've Hunter as well has some very famous Georgia Tech alum who are super hardworking like yourself, Ricky. It's amazing. Between all that, the partying that we used to go down to Athens to do, that there is some education going on down there. I have to throw in a bone at UGA. It's a given.
That basket weaving course that we have, I think y'all should consider having that available at Georgia Tech, because there's probably some guys that need a loose quarter every once in a while. But anyway, I read something very interesting. In your description of one of your first business ventures, it was a successful failure. And you've also talked about the importance of failing fast. Tell me a little bit about that and maybe give an example or two.
Well, sure. I'm a huge fan of failing fast. I think we attract a lot of clients who really want to fail fast and sort of learn things as they go. A lot of our courses and things are all about like trying to get into an environment where it is safe to fail and learn from those mistakes. And I have had the benefit of trying to start two companies. Two of them were big fat failures, the third obviously did really well. Talk about sort of that as we sort of go along. But I think one of the things that I learned, in sort of failing is that just getting out there and giving it a shot and trying to put something out there. You know, we have a saying at Bingard Ranch, it's a sort of bias towards action. And that doesn't mean just throwing something out. It means a lot of times it's a lot easier to sort of stay in the realm of sort of thinking and sort of pondering, like, what should we do? And we teach our clients and we teach our developers to try something and bias towards action, do something, get it out there, get the first draft, get the rough framework. I heard somebody call it the other day the McDonald's theory, right? So you're trying to figure out where to go for lunch, and one person says, no one can figure out where to go. You're sort of all thinking about it. One person says, let's go to McDonald's. And the other people are like, oh, that's a horrible idea. Like, why would we go there? They're like, we should totally go to X. And all it took was sort of that first, sort of failure, like tossing it out there. So I'm a big fan of failure. I think it's great that we have a work environment where we foster that and sort of say, hey, like, it's okay to fail. Like, get out there. Let's try something. Let's put out the first draft. It may not be perfect, but that's something that's served me really well.
Heck, I'm a big fan of McDonald's.
Well,
I would have been the one that probably suggested that for a quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah.
Let's maybe move in a little bit and talk about your successful venture, High Groove, a company that I think you had about 26 folks
That's correct,
and a year later you merged with Big Nerd Ranch, which was around 50 people, instantaneously creating a company of 76 folks on day one. Tell us a little bit about High Groove as you begin building it and then the merger and how all that came down.
Sure. A little bit of backstory on that. High Groove was a company I started in 2006 with a friend of mine from Georgia Tech, and we focused on back-end development. So what we would do is we'd build the back-ends to web apps and mobile apps. And there was a company right down the street that we tended to work with a lot. The name of that company was Big Nerd Ranch. And I knew Aaron from a long time back. And in fact, Aaron and I had met at a programmers group. Aaron was at Big Nerd Ranch. He was the founder and chief executive officer there. And he was teaching and doing stuff in the front end, sort of iOS development. And there was this new fledgling framework back then called Ruby and a framework called Ruby on Rails, and one that we were just, becoming experts in. And he approached us, approached me and said, I think we should teach a course about this at the Big Nerd Ranch. And so we happily said, absolutely, sure. And I actually didn't realize at the time what a internet celebrity Aaron Hillegas was, who is now our chief learning officer. More on that later. But, so the courses at Big Nerd Ranch, instantly I sort of didn't know what I signed up for, because all of a sudden my friend Aaron said, okay, we're going to make this course. Here's the pedagogical guidelines. Like, this course has to be intense, we have to learn by doing. There's some key things we have to add to this. And wow, he really worked me pretty hard. The course ended up being very successful, and we've taught that, and we still teach that today. It's one of the many courses that we teach. But what was interesting is that so in November of last year is when we finally decided to merge. But before that, Aaron and I were in a book club together. In this book club, we had been meeting for about a year because we were both business owners. And it was a fantastic way to get to know Aaron and some of the business things that he's running into. I could never get Aaron to join any of my entrepreneurial groups like EO and some of these others that I've been involved with. But the book club he loved because we could talk about all these sort of business things that we were learning. And I remember we sat down in the summer, I guess it was of last year, and he sort of said, you know what? And our CFO would love that, doesn't like the name of this, but he said, we should do a death pact. And the death pact says, I'm sure there's an legal name for this. He said, what we should do is if I die, you should own my company, like just, you know, so that it lives on. And I said, well, gosh, if I die, like you should totally own mine so that it lives on, because these were both bigger things than us. We had both created and built. And the next day, I remember him walking over to my office because we were right down the street from each other. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about it. And he's like, I think you should be CEO. I think we should combine forces. And I sat there for a minute. And I don't think it took me a full minute to be like, okay, this could work. And it took obviously a lot longer than a minute to work out all the details. But, I mean, it worked out fantastic. I mean, there were certainly some challenges, but it's been super fantastic combining the cultures and really combining the two expertise, both innovative in training and innovative in consulting. So it, there's probably a lot more detail in that story, but it was fantastic to meet him, and we're still good friends. Now Aaron is chief learning officer, and I do get to be CEO and get to do what I love, which is be the leader and put the right people on the bus.
I have not had the opportunity, or if I have met Aaron, it's briefly. I don't think he would know who I am, and I know of
him. He's hard to miss. He's a tall guy with a cowboy hat, and when he shows up at internet conferences, he's usually surrounded
you
by people.
You recognize him.
Yeah.
I read a great article about him recently, and I was just blown away because having been an entrepreneur most of my career, all of us at the top are the God's gift to mankind, the smartest people who ever drew breath, and we don't give up our power. And yet he's got the larger company. He merges with you, and he's obviously a man of great humility, but also understanding of what's best for the overall enterprise. And
true.
So he moves from the CEO's chair into a cubicle next to a college student, if I remember reading the article correctly, and becomes chief learning officer. I mean, I admire him a great deal without having to know him. So the challenge that most companies have of two CEOs getting together and butting heads obviously never occurred. I'm sure there were other challenges, as you mentioned. What are some of those other challenges? And if you want to say anything else about Aaron,
sure.
We already had a Praise Aaron Club. We might as well continue on that track.
Well, the article you're referring to is great, and thank you for mentioning that. It's in Business Week, and it's still out there, and we were super happy about that. Aaron sort of wrote about his demotion, and
that was the title.
Yeah, he totally demoted himself, and I respect Aaron obviously immensely. It's one of the things that we try and do at Bingard Ranch is try and realize like what is it that we are really good at, really passionate about, and really enjoy doing. And for him, that's teaching. It's leading. It's helping be the nerd mentor and leading the development efforts of our courses and making sure that we're staying on top of things and really innovative training. So, to talk more about Aaron, and he's probably listening in and his head's getting bigger. But absolutely. So some of the, I guess you asked more sort of what were sort of were the challenges that we sort of thought about. When we were doing the merger, we were really thinking about what would evil CBQ do or what would evil Aaron do, and we really had trouble thinking of it. We were just in, to your readers, there's an article in Inc. magazine we got written up this month, so you can pick it up on the newsstands, and it's also available online. Someone had approached us about friendly mergers and what, to look for. And so we were interviewed, and there's some neat tips we give on doing a merger. But I think the two biggest challenges that we had and were – we had two fiercely loyal cultures. We had super, passionate, talented developers, and we both attracted those types of people who lived those cultures. And now I'm super proud that we're developing a shared culture that takes all the best elements and combines them, and I'm super proud to be a part of it. So that has been challenging, but, I feel like it was a long time ago. The other thing that was interesting is that the moment we introduced that we were combining and so that we could do the back end and the front end and that we were now – being able to provide both innovative training and innovative consulting and mobile development is that the growing demand for that has been amazing. Some of our clients who we sort of said now we're being able to offer both of these literally called us the next day and said, great, I'm glad you're able to do this. So scaling up those systems in order to keep our clients happy and be able to provide while merging people and systems and processes. I am fortunate that I'm surrounded by experts. My management team, fantastic, who've helped us grow and continue to attract the type of developers and talented and great clients who want to work with us.
Well, Aaron, if you did hear all this, go get a bigger hat. You may need it. I recently attended, as I mentioned earlier, an event at the World of Coca-Cola where the global CIO of Coca-Cola, Ed Steinick, who's a great guy and someone I respect a great deal, was making a presentation, was talking about Big Nerd Ranch. And he had to spend a good 2 minutes on playing with the name Big Nerd Ranch because you're in a room full of CIOs of billion-dollar corporations who are big nerds, great, wonderful people, but they are very technical, very technical. I guess this may be a question for Aaron, but I'm sure you can give me the answer. What was the origin of the name Big Nerd Ranch, and how has that opened doors for you over the last number of years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So one of the things that's neat about the way we both formed both companies even before the merger is that we built them from bootstrapped. You know, there wasn't any sort of funding or any of that. And when Big Nerd Ranch first started, it was Aaron. And Aaron, in 2001, decided, you know, he said, I am good at teaching. I would like to teach. And at this point, he had been cycling back and forth between Apple and Next. And he started training some of the Apple developers. One of the things he did was he said, you know what, I'm not a huge company. I don't have a huge marketing budget. So in order to get the word out, I'm going to choose a name that's sort of rebellious. And at that time, nerd, the word nerd was sort of a rebellious word. It's actually gotten really cool. I think it's very cool to be a nerd these days, which has been great for our brand. But at that time, it was almost even sort of, you know, a misfit or someone who didn't really fit in and sort of passionate about things that might not have been super cool at the time. So he took the name because he went to the conference WWDC, which by back then was easy to get tickets to. This year I believe it sold out in 90 seconds.
Wow.
And what he did was he said, I'm going to name myself Big Nerd Ranch because the training that I want to do needs to be ranch-like. We need to take people away. There's some more on training that our chief learning officer knows about. And he said, I need to take people away. And so it needs to be a ranch-like experience where they can go and learn and be free from distraction. And so he said, I'm going to name it the Big Nerd Ranch. And so he put on a cowboy hat and walked around WWC because we couldn't afford a booth at that time. And he handed out business cards. And luckily, our brand has been super strong since. And it's a testament to it. So it was funny that you're talking about the when Ed and them were sort of saying, like, you know, mentioning it. People do love the name. We have a great brand. It's fantastic. People know us around the world. And for those of you who don't know, we are sort of expert developers, and we do specialize in training consulting on mobile development. Our claim to fame is that we have written several books on mobile development, and we get to train some of the best companies in the world now. We just recently got done training over 500 engineers at Facebook that we can now talk about. So that's been amazing. Those people are fantastically smart. We've taught at Samsung, Nokia, Google, Los Alamos, even National Laboratory. And so we help developers realize their programmer goals. We have continued to support education. We come out with more books. We just came out with our new book on Android, which this last month, and we're going to continue to release new guides every year.
Well, I know the business card has the big hat on it, and that runs everybody, again, continues the story. But that is a fantastic story. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
And that logo, by the way, was designed in 2001 and has stayed the same since. So we got lucky.
12, 13
years.
A friend
of ours designed that, and it's been fantastic.
That's a great logo. We've briefly touched on it, but I want you to go into a little more depth on really what does make Big Nerd Ranch different from all the other companies that train developers, because there's – I don't want to start naming names and get sued, but there's a lot of people that do something very, very similar. But you have created an interesting niche in the marketplace. Give me some examples of what you're doing differently, and including the ranch atmosphere and really how it's differentiated you in the marketplace.
Well, our chief learning officer, Aaron, says that there are three things that really make good training. And learning difficult ideas and techniques requires these three things. First is good content. Second would be a distraction-free environment in which to learn them. And the third is an expert who can help guide you and put you on that path, you know, get things out of your way, tell you the way that it's been done and the way that they've done it. So we think if you have the first two, say a content and the an expert and a sort of environment, if you have all three of those, you could stay home and do it yourself. Our books are actually used by many people to do that. And there are certainly lots of videos and video training. And we would be happy to. I think if you want those three things, though, we're happy to create that for you. And that's why many people come to the Big Nerd Ranch to learn. I think you're right, Ricky. There's a lot of high-profile startups out there trying to teach people difficult ideas. And I think the companies pretend that the environment and the expert aren't a big deal because they're sort of the harder ones to scale. And we think that that's not true. Big Nerd Ranch training is not inexpensive, nor is it really convenient to take that full week to immerse yourself in the learning with one of our experts. But we still believe that learning difficult things requires that conscience sacrifice. And our clients rely on it, and our developers demand it.
I don't know how it is for most people, but I know for me, from time to time on a conference call, I might read an additional email and do 17 or 18 other things while that video or a conference call or even a live presentation on meetings is happening. And I would imagine that's just times 1,000 or 10,000, the more people that you have online and the less interesting the content might be. So you have no interest in doing it that way.
Well, you know, Ricky, it's back before Big Nerd Ranch, I used to consult for a software company, and I would go on site and teach this sort of software that no one really wanted to sort of be in and learn. And people would go into the course, and then they'd sort of go off for a meeting, come back 3 hours later and say, "What'd I miss?" And I'm like, "Well, you missed it all, right?" and what's fantastic, what's just insatiable, like cool, is that when you go to the ranch, everybody who's there wants to be there. And it's just infectious. I mean, we stay up, you know, late at night working on apps and things, and the teachers and the instructors are experts. Everyone wants to be there, and it's wild. It's ridiculous, actually.
Having written a book on networking, people ask me about the social aspect of networking, and I think that had there been social networking and Facebook and LinkedIn and all those wonderful things in 75 when I began my career, I would already be retired at the beach. But social networking will never replace traditional networking because we all have that desire to be next to another human being, to shake hands, to pat them on the back, to feel that excitement that you're just not going to feel staring at a computer screen. I am a huge believer in Facebook and in every social vehicle that we can use to communicate, because we can communicate to just so many more folks. But in the end, don't ask me for a conference call. Give me 5 minutes in your office and save the hour and a half that both of us would end up doing something else instead of just actually communicating. So you've gotten past that.
Sure. Good point.
What's the big, hairy, audacious goal of the Big Nerd Ranch?
Well, there's a couple, but honestly, I'd like for every CTO or CIO out there to know about us and to come to us if they want some help transferring what I would consider mobile expertise. If you have a team that needs to know the latest and greatest how to do mobile development, both on iOS, be it on Android, be it on our newest courses on Windows 8 and Windows 8 Phone and HTML, which is HTML5 and JavaScript, which is a good mobile framework, that you would come to us. I think one day it would be fantastic if all around the world people could be 4 hours from anywhere, a Big Nerd Ranch facility, and they could come to learn development and the Big Nerd Ranch way. I think the other big, hairy, audacious goal is to continue to be a place that attracts the top developers, developers who want to learn, who want to challenge themselves, who want to be surrounded by other developers who are brilliant, kind, and hardworking. And I think to continue to be that type of workplace is a huge, huge goal of ours.
So if you're a CIO listening to this today or a month from now in Atlanta or in Kalamazoo or Hong Kong, this organization has made a huge commitment to our community. And so I think it'd be well versed if you would give them the opportunity to tell you a little bit about what they're doing. And I think they've certainly earned it.
Thank you, Ricky.
How do you attract the best developers and instructors to come work for Big Nerd Ranch? What is the whole the atmosphere, and how do you draw in the kind of talent that can keep someone's attention for 5 days away from their office and their families, et cetera?
Sure. Well, part of it's in our brand. Our brand is super strong. We've built a very strong brand that tends to attract the most talented. We're very well known, and that does wonders for us. We do hire those people who are both brilliant, like I mentioned, kind and hardworking. Those are our core values. And we tend to give those people lots of freedom to manage their own time and meet their own results. And that attracts the right type of people as well. It's sort of liberating for our people. We talk about, a lot of times we liberate people from sort of oppressive work environments where their brilliance and nerdiness can't thrive. The other thing I think is, you know, I've always said this, but developers want to be in a room with other smartest developers, and they don't want to be the smartest person in the room. And by golly, that's what happens when I go to work, for sure. And what's neat is that when other people do, they go to work, and there's other people who are experts in kind of things that, you know, they may not know. So we tend to attract those type of people who just want to be surrounded by those people who can give them the feedback and push them to learn and to do more. And I think we also have a great work environment. I mean, I'm biased, but we have fun, you know, social things, our bacon fest breakfast, and tons of flexible work arrangements that tend to attract those types of developers.
Having spent a lot of time, some time with you the last couple of days and weeks, and having spent a lot of time with David Cummings over the last 10, 12 years, I see a lot of the same culture and the same youthful exuberance just for life itself and for the people that you're around. David has his flex racers or something. What do you call those things?
The scooters, right?
Scooters. They're riding them down the hall. And I think you've got 3D printers in the office. What are the other things in your office that are unique that make people really attracted to you and Big Nerd?
Well, that's a great point. You know, I'm just happy to sort of even be mentioned in the same sentence with a great like David Cummings. And honestly, my advice would to, you know, that no one asked for is that I just copy what David Cummings does. I think that sort of serves me well. So
serves
yes,
anyone well.
I believe it does. So, yeah, him and Johnson Cook and I believe it was Kyle Porter who
Kyle
you had
Porter.
On the last show. I really
guys.
Enjoyed listening to them and what they're doing with Atlanta Tech Village. So, we're sort of just trying to copy them. But some of the unique things that we've done, we do have a 3D printer. Thanks for mentioning that. I know I was telling you about that earlier. The that has been fun. I think we have tons of smart toys. I think we have almost every single mobile device known to man. There's we had a programming competition this past week where we sort of even designed some stuff to help with all these mobile devices that we have in the office. Yeah, we definitely have the scooters. We have we take our coffee really seriously. Nerds being super passionate about their coffee. I hesitate to tell you the sort of type of machine that we have in our office. We got it from Octane down the street. We sort of put the lease on it. It's we actually import all our beans from Octane. They're a supplier. We're kind of like a mini Octane. So we actually have their baristas come out and train us. You're not allowed to touch the machine until you have been trained by a barista. We have the hipster barista comes and trains us. So I don't know if you're familiar with the hipster barista meme. He's the one who comes out and trains us regularly. So it's funny. I think one of our developers mentioned, they said, it's funny that at Big Nerd Ranch, the interns don't make coffee first. Like the actual developers have to make the interns the coffee because they're not allowed to touch the machine. And that goes along with some of our core values, like the craftsmanship that we provide. I mean, why not have some of these things? You know, why not have a really nice machine? You know, we don't have kegs or any of like cheap beer in the office. I mean, if you're going to do something, like why not have something that's craft or local and is made by people who care about quality? So that's the kind of stuff that we have in our office and the type of things that we attract.
If I was a little smarter, I'd try to figure out a way to come over there and drink some of your coffee and enjoy some of the atmosphere.
You're but welcome anytime, Ricky.
I'd have to get a whole lot smarter. We mentioned David Cummings, and you and I mentioned a couple of folks yesterday, but who are some of the other people that help you and advise you and the kind of counsel the folks that you seek from time to time? I know you're involved in the Entrepreneurs Organization and others that you've partaken in from time to time, but when you get that moment where you really want to ask a serious question, who do you lean upon?
Well, I'm super lucky in that my management team is fantastic. I have a great management team who helps with, you know, all the functions of business, well-versed people who know training systems and how to manage them. Our CFO is fantastic. You know, Aaron, obviously, a huge mentor as our chief learning officer. So our management team is fantastic. There's no problem I can't come to that brain trust with, and we can't work out. Getting that trust and so quickly has been phenomenal, I'm just super happy that I have them. You're also right, Ricky. I love my EO group. EO has something, concept of a forum which is, I call it, for people who don't know, my support group for entrepreneurs. It's where I can go and ask the crazy questions that I couldn't ask my significant other or someone else. It's I remember, you know, sort of one of them a long time ago that I could probably share is that I had someone tweeting inappropriate things. And, you know, it's like I don't really know who I could ask about that. Like, what do I do about someone who might be tweeting things that I think are funny but probably not best for our brand? And my EO group sort of said, hey, here's what we think. We know you. We know you. We know your company. We know how this works. And ended up, the solution was fantastic. So my EO counsel, you know, my manager team, Aaron, I'm surrounded by experts.
I would think you also could lean upon your dad from time to time. Knowing his background, he would be able to see things around corners and think through it. Tell us about your dad.
Well, I'm lucky. My father is a psychologist, and he's always been an entrepreneur. He has his own business as well. My mother is a nurse. I like to tell people that my dad is the most logical, rational guy I know, and that my mother is the most emotionally intelligent sort of EQ. And I like to think I have both, but I'm probably more on the rational side, at least my significant other would say that. I tend to definitely, you know, chat with my dad, and who's super brilliant, super rational, super logical, and super super smart. He even says he has way too much education, which he'll even admit to, too. So obviously I can lean on my dad and lean on my family as well.
But with his background, I have found comfort many times in the offices of a psychologist who could see things in a way that I couldn't see them and help me work through it.
We don't need to hear about your therapy.
It's you know, sometimes it's good to talk to someone that that helps you understand the bigger picture from time to time. And I've got a great wife that does that as well.
I tease, but yes, no, I totally agree.
Walk me through a day in your life, personally and then professionally. I know you are an avid biker in the Ducati or the what was the name of the group for Atlanta? The Ducats or
the Wild Ducks.
Wild Ducks. That's it.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I don't have the motorcycle anymore. I am an avid two-wheeled vehicle fan. I do lots of bicycling. It's a little better for me than sort of jumping on the motorcycle. I was in a bad accident about a year and a couple months ago, and I lost the Ducati. It was my favorite. It was the most beautiful bike ever, I loved that bike, Tier. But our CFO has told me that I'm not allowed to buy another motorcycle along with several other developers at Vineyard Ranch. We're not allowed, so... I do not have another one, but I did enjoy my time at the Wild Ducks, and I'm still on the mailing list, so I still know when they meet, and I still oogle at the bikes whenever they come by. But yeah, I'm also involved with another cycling group here in town called Faster Mustache. It's just a ragtag group of people who do some charity events as well. Also, Big Nerd Ranch sponsors a number of really cool racing and sort of cycling teams, including a team for kids that's doing phenomenal. So you may see our name on a couple of cycling events and on some jerseys, and we really do like that. We have a lot of bicyclists in the office, so that makes that easy. The bike parking is what really gets kind of tough, not the real parking. Like, it gets full. So,
what are other companies and business owners in town do you admire and do you think people should know about or know more about? I mean, we've, of course, mentioned David a couple of three times, and he's certainly an inspiration to many, many folks. Who else do you really admire and look up to in the community?
Well, I think there's a shout out. It was on your last podcast, the one before, sort of the Atlanta Tech Village are doing fantastic things. I look to Johnson Cook and David Cummings and what they're doing with the Atlanta Tech Village. I think they subscribe to the same that you and I do, Ricky, which is that a rising tide rises all boats. I think what they're doing is fantastic for the community. I got a history sort of legendary lesson listening to your last podcast on John Yates. That was fantastic. I do agree with you that should be required, listening, finding out about that for anyone who wants to do entrepreneurial things in Atlanta. It's just great to have some great technology companies with the CEO Council and some of the things that he's been doing. Some other people that I like, have to give a shout out to some of the businesses in my EO group. There's some great companies here in town, Guild Quality. Does fantastic things. It's a company you've probably not heard about, but they're doing great things. Shop Visible, run by Sean Cook. Those guys are fantastic, mm-hmm. Very cool, entrepreneurial, great entrepreneur. My friend Reed Smith-Venez from Reliant Technology, fantastic sales mentoring coach for me. and gosh, tons of others. You know, there's several recruiting companies that are fantastic here in town. You know, obviously Hunter is a huge one. They do great things for the community, sponsor many groups. There's a couple recruiters who are good on my list. We're always not in the best with recruiters, but we admire some of the work that that you guys do to help the community. And we do agree that a rising tide rises all boats, so we appreciate it.
You mentioned Atlanta CEO Council, and we had Harriet Hollis and Sig Mosley on a number of weeks ago. I urge anyone that doesn't know about the Atlanta CEO Council, if you're an entrepreneur, get to know the organization, and you can go to the AtlantaCEOCouncil.org. If you qualify, you should be attending these meetings. They're held once every 6 to 8 weeks, and we actually do a live Booth 61 radio broadcast. The next one will be this Monday the 13th at the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead. So if you are an entrepreneur or if you're a service provider and want to get into this community, you can purchase a sponsorship. And I have purchased sponsorships in four different organizations that I have worked in over the years because I'm a firm believer in it. The more smart people you hang around, it is unbelievable, the smarter you become yourself. Osmosis is a very good thing for all of us.
No, I totally agree.
So where are you going to be in 5 years?
Hopefully still alive. You know, we have big plans for Big Nerd Ranch. Again, like I said, we've got some plans for growth. I think it would be a shame if we weren't able to train more developers, if we weren't able to liberate more developers to come join the Big Nerd Ranch and to help CEOs and really CTOs and anyone who really needs help in what we're considering the post-PC era. I mean, right now, Ricky, we live in a world where, I don't know about you, but when I wake up, you know, I don't grab my laptop, but I grab my phone, my mobile phone. And that's a device that I think we're seeing more and more people sort of operate out of. And, you know, it's tough, like trying to figure out how to do some of the things that we tend to want to do with mobile devices. And we want to help companies in this, what we're calling the post-PC era. And, you know, I think the way we're doing that through both the training and obviously the consulting companies come to us and say, help us figure this out. I'm just glad that we get to do it. So in 5 years, I hope that we're able to help more companies in this post-PC era, both with the front end, the back end, all sort of areas in between. I hope that we can train some of their developers to be able to run with that and do more learning and help more developers follow the Big Nerd Ranch way.
Big Nerd Ranch location everywhere in the world within 4 hour time span?
That would be the big Harriet goal. I think I may have to draw some dots and some circles on a globe. I'm not too good with geography, but I don't know if that means we need one in Antarctica, so don't quote me on that yet, but maybe that's where that'll end up.
You briefly hit on it, but I want to dig into it a little bit more. Just over the last 3 days, you closed the entire shop down to let developers compete in a competition y'all call the Clash of the Coders. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I think that's be a great place to kind of maybe come to a conclusion, because it's another commitment you made to the community, and you really basically just shut down to give people this opportunity for this clash. Tell us more about it.
Well, that has been fantastic. This is our second annual, and what we did, what we decided to do is literally shut down the office. So we don't take any client work, we don't teach, we don't do anything. And for 3 days this year, the programmers joined teams, programmers, designers, sort of everybody, myself and Aaron competed for exhibition, obviously, because of course we'd win. we grabbed a reporter from the Apple Insider, the unofficial Apple weblog, who came and joined our team, and we compete. And the competition is on two things. It is both usefulness and technical prowess, or sort of technical wizardry. So developers have free reign. A couple of the competition sort of entries this year, and the winner was fantastic. It's been announced on our blog. It's a fantastic app for helping developers debug apps. It's literally, I'm amazed. My jaw hit the floor when I saw it, of what they were able to do in 3 days. And it's called the Krendler, I believe. It's Krendler.com. They put up a website. And it allows you to take a mobile app and you install these tools on it, and then literally you can kind of almost look at the app in a 3D view to see where all the components are. You can record, screen flows so you can debug it. It's an amazing debugging tool. There's nothing else like it. There's a couple things that are kind of similar out there, but literally it's fantastic. And so they just rolled it out. And this is the Clash of Coders is a great chance for our developers simply hone their skills, show off their prowess, and learn technologies that they might not want to. You know, I was debating sort of giving this tip to other sort of companies, but man, shutting down the office for 3 days was a little scary at first. We're like, you know, sort of thinking about the sort of lost revenue and obviously all those sort of things, but the amount of learning, the amount of like new ideas that were met, the synergies, the people working together to say like, I didn't know we could do that, was just fantastic. And I almost encourage all companies to do that, to shut down and really focus on something, some competition, and bring people together. It was fantastic. Our staff did a wonderful job of making sure that we were fed and happy, and some people were there all hours of the night, which is another developer trait. But would do it again, and we'll do it again. If you want to find out more about that, check our blog. The winners were announced and have blogged about their thing. There's a giant trophy that they get, and they get to get for another year till the next one.
We posted yesterday on the Booth 61 at Business Radio X, and also on the Booth 61 Facebook fan page, how to contact you on either Facebook, Twitter, and I think your blog, and maybe even your personal website as well. And I think we had Big Nerd Ranch also. If someone wanted to contact you, or to a developer wanting to know more, what is the best way for them to do that? Or
Yeah, absolutely. I love getting that stuff. You can my personal website is cbq.com. That's SEEBQ.com. But visit us at bignerdranch.com. If you're a developer looking to take a course, if you don't think you're ready, I'd love to help you out with that. We've got plenty of people who can figure out if you're ready to take those intense courses. We now teach immersive boot camps at three locations, Atlanta, Northern California, and the Netherlands. I'd love to hear from you. Again, my email address is cbq@bignerdranch.com. And you can grab me there. I'll hopefully see some of you guys at the Digital Ball.
Hope we'll see a lot of you at the Digital Ball. Last minute words of wisdom, advice, something, if you're an entrepreneur out there, tell them something that has been instrumental in the great success you've had so far.
Well, Ricky, you're putting me on the spot. I have no advice. I think I want to reiterate one of the things that someone told me and that I mentioned earlier is that it still literally surprises me that there are people out there who do enjoy the things that I'm not good at. So one of the things that I've been phenomenal about learning is trying to learn more about myself and what I'm good at, and putting together the right people on the right team who do enjoy doing the things that honestly I don't, and honestly some others may not. So that literally excites me to wake up in the morning and be able to join a company where there are people doing things they love. Things that, you know, I can't even imagine how are possible. I would say surround yourself with those type of people. Be the change that you want, and honestly, help others. Give advice. We teach in EO the gestalt, which is share from experience. That's been tremendous for me. Join a peer group. Network with people like Ricky Steele, who know everybody in Atlanta. Seek their counsel, and rising tide rises all boats.
No question about it. Well, this has been probably maybe one of the most enjoyable shows that we've had to date. Great amount of wisdom, insight, a great, exciting company. Again, thank you for what you're doing for the Digital Ball. And CBQ, it has been an honor having you in Booth 61 today.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks, Ricky.
I look forward to seeing you on Saturday night. This is Ricky Steele. I've finished my coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday, or by listening to any of our past shows at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele on Business Radio X. I always close each show sharing a blessing for you, for your family, and perhaps for your business. This blessing comes from the book of Numbers out of the Bible. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I am Ricky Steele. Thank you for visiting Booth 61.